Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Well, I mentioned earlier that today we're beginning a new series for Advent. We'll be focusing on a passage in the first chapter of Luke. It has been called the Magnificat. That's how it's known. This is a proclamation and a prophecy about by Mary about the miraculous child that she is carrying in her womb. And it's a beautiful passage, and we'll spend a couple weeks on it. Today we study the events leading up to that moment. We today meet the future parents of John the Baptist, who will be a relative of Jesus. Their names are Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah's beliefs are challenged one day as he learns he will have a son. Bookmark that. We're going to discuss belief in general for just a moment. But Zechariah has some default beliefs about his life and what he is going to experience that day, and those beliefs are interrupted. What do we believe? How do we come to what we believe? That might be one of the more pressing issues of our day and our lives. And by that, I don't just mean what do we believe in terms of faith, but what do we believe about the world? What do we believe about our culture? What do we believe about our country? Beliefs are interesting. Around 1999, if you were an adult, the world was bracing for something called the Y2K crisis. A few years earlier, programmers and IT experts realized that computers were not programmed to accommodate dates past December 31, 1999. There were just two-year digits in computers. We didn't have four-year digits. And so the idea was that once we hit 99, we would go back to 00, which would every computer thought would be 1900. Banks were going to crash, the grid was going to go down, nuclear reactors were going to melt down. You might remember that. Thankfully, most of that never happened and never transpired, but there was a belief that that would happen. As that was happening shortly thereafter, a brave new era of internet companies were springing up everywhere. The market was exploding. The stock market was going up, 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 and the belief that all these brave new companies were going to be wildly successful, all of them. Some of them had their own stadiums. They were advertising during the Super Bowl. And then, of course, the market realized that many of these startups were more style than substance. There wasn't really any business behind them to be had. And then the market crashed. But a lot of people lost a lot of money because they believed that all these dot-com companies would be successful. And in fact, some of them were, but not all of them. Years ago, under the belief that weapons of mass destruction would be quickly recovered in Iraq, a coalition of the willing went with America into Iraq only to find empty buildings with no weapons of mass destruction. Now, Julie and I happened to get to know over the years a White House staffer who was very close to the inner circle of the West Wing at that time, and she reported to us that indeed the administration officials sincerely believed that they would find and recover those weapons. And the mood in the room when the sobering reports came in was quite downcast and maybe a bit shocked. Beliefs and what we believe and why we believe them are very important. Most recently, during the pandemic, there were a lot of different beliefs about how and when and what would bring the pandemic to an end. Lots of beliefs out there about what would do that. And those beliefs persisted over many months. And I think in the end, I don't know if it's over or not, but what's transpired has been sort of a melting pot of those beliefs or a combination of those beliefs. It's easy for us to get hooked on a belief or a trajectory. We live in an age where one cable network, one news network, cable news network is truthful, and the others are wrong, maybe even evil. One ideology is right, the other is completely wrong. One party or one president stands for the truth, the other should be a scapegoat. And it seems to me that these perspectives take on not only belief, but dogma sometimes. And that can become very divisive. And I wonder at Advent how God might be about interrupting our beliefs. What beliefs serve? What beliefs conform to the, or at least support the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives and engender it to grow and which ones don't? The answer to that question, I think, is very individual. But the truth is, our beliefs can be interrupted by truths that are different, bigger, less exciting, or wilder. And it's with this lens that I want to go to Luke chapter 1. Zechariah has the opportunity to serve in the temple because of his heritage and his role. And what we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, is that in the days of King Herod, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Well, once when Zechariah was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord. Wow, imagine this. An angel of the Lord, he's in the sanctuary, and this angel is standing at the right side of the altar where the incense is. That's what Luke tells us. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified. Fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, he must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord." With the spirit and power of Elijah invoking this very powerful Old Testament prophet, this your child will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now remember, Zechariah is going in this place thinking he's going to light some incense. that's what he believed. I don't think he believed that any of this would actually ever happen. So Zechariah said to the angel, I'm laughing because he's daring to say this to an angel, and we'll see what happens. "How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Footnote, don't mess with angels. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. They're going, "What's that guy doing in there? Like, how long does it take to light incense? It never takes this long. Why has he been in there?" When Zechariah did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak, and when his time of service at the temple was ended, he went to his home. Now, fascinating story and what happens here. And I'm going to guess that Zechariah's belief was he would walk in the temple, nothing would happen, he would light the incense and leave. That was his belief. And God interrupted that belief in a big way. He also believed that he and his wife Elizabeth would never be able to conceive. And yet, Elizabeth did conceive. God interrupted that belief in a big way. What happens when God interrupts our beliefs, good and bad? What lessons can we learn from Zechariah's contact with God's messenger? One lesson I learned is that I want to believe in God's presence. Again, this is very easy. Like, we can come up here, and sometimes we meaning the collective team that leads worship, we can get a little complacent. You know, we're singing this song, or we're waiting for this track to download on the iPad and the equipment. And it can be, you know, we can get very wrapped up in the logistics and forget that, at least I can forget, that we're here to worship. But this passage reminds me, I want to remember that God is present. Gabriel shows up, to remind Zechariah this in a big way. Hey, dude, you're not just here to light incense. You're not just here to light incense. That's why I laugh a little bit, because Gabriel has the gall to say, okay, well, whoever you are, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm old and blah, 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 blah. And Gabriel essentially says, did I stutter? Did I stutter, Zechariah? You have a lesson to learn, and this is how you are going to learn. There's the easy way, and there's the hard way. The easy way is, wow, thank you, God, I'm rejoicing. The hard way is, are you sure about this angel? So, Gabriel, okay, you chose the hard way, and now, because you did that, I have to prove to you that I am who I say I am. You can't just go out there and say, oh, I think I saw something, or maybe I had that in a dream. We have to have concrete proof that you have been visited by God. May each and every one of us not be so stubborn when God is trying to get our attention. I want to believe in the presence of God. Perhaps part of the takeaway here is that the veil between this world and heaven is not as thick as we think it is. So I want to believe in God's presence. I also want to believe in divine interruptions. Again, I have my plan. I have the way I think it's going to go. Sometimes my beliefs are too small, too limited, and God will interrupt those. I went to seminary in Southern California at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. It's not too far from Hollywood. It's not too close either, but that is an industry. It's a big industry, and much like the federal government is here, sort of spread out from D.C. to Maryland and Virginia, the entertainment industry was everywhere, even though Pasadena wasn't right next to and is not right next to Hollywood. But it was also an expensive area to live, and especially so for seminary students. So one strategy was that students would either, if they couldn't get student housing, or they would go in together to rent a house or another property. And so there were a lot of rentals around. And during one of my classes, during a discussion, a topic came up about prayer and God's provision for us. A student raised his hand and said, may I share a story about something that happened recently? And the professor said, sure. So the student went on to talk about he and his housemates were worried about making that month's rent and how they had been praying that they would somehow be able to pay that bill at the end of the month. They were short about $800, I think, and the due date was drawing near, and they still didn't have the money, and they were getting nervous. Their expectation was that they were headed into crisis. That was their belief. Then someone one day knocked on their door. It was a film producer or director with a crew. And they said that they were driving by and they noticed the house. A lot of films are done in Pasadena. And they noticed the house and they said, you know, that is perfect for this project that we have. It's either a commercial or a scene from a movie, I don't remember. And they said, we would love to just rent the house for 2 days. Would that be okay? And the student said, we'd be interested. By the way, how much does a rental like that pay? And the director said, how about $800? Now, that's very random, and were it to be a coincidence, it would be quite a coincidence. That story is one of many I have heard over the years that remind me to believe that God will interrupt my expectations, oftentimes in a good way. Their fear of the future and their expectations about a negative future were interrupted by provision and peace that came out of the blue, out of nowhere, literally. Finally, I'm reminded that God interrupts our routines with beauty and wonder. Beauty and wonder. Julie yesterday was gathering some clippings for the wreath-making event at our home. We have a modest wood lot, and sometimes I forget about the beautiful stuff that is out there. And Julie came in with it, and I thought, wow, I walk by that stuff all the time. I'm my weed whacker or my chainsaw or something like that, and I don't see it. I don't see it. But God interrupts our routines with beauty and wonder. I have personally never encountered an angel that I know of, and maybe I have, and I don't know that, but I'm not aware of encountering one. But I imagine that just being in the sanctuary with the incense would have been beautiful enough. What an honor that he was chosen, Zechariah, to go do that. But then to encounter an angel. Wow. Just wow. In his shoes, I might have stopped experiencing the honor and beauty of serving the sanctuary just to focus on that. I might have said, wow, I'm in a different, that woke me up. Or maybe a better way to put it is that perhaps woke him up to see the beauty of the sanctuary and to be reminded of what he was taking in terms of the beauty of the incense. You know, I enjoy all my devices, the stuff, you know, the phones and the computer. We had some tech problems this morning. I wasn't enjoying it very much this morning. And I spend a lot of time working on them and communicating with people through them. They're great tools. They can be great tools. I learn about the world through them, through a lens that sometimes is a bit colored. But when I'm outside among the trees and hearing the birds and the songs of nature and the smells, not always the smells, depends on where I am. We have a lot of skunks out where we live. But I'm reminded that the enjoyment of these devices, this tech, it pales in comparison with the peace and the joy that I feel in God's creation. And my routine is interrupted with the beauty of what God has done. Have you had the opportunity this season just to go out in the night sky and enjoy it? And look at how beautiful it's been lately, how gorgeous it's been. Can you see it? Getting complacent in this life, spiritually complacent, is easy. We live in patterns that repeat again and again. In fact, we oftentimes get irritated when those patterns are interrupted. What do you mean? I always do this on Tuesday. What you're doing, you're supposed to do carpool. What do you mean you can't show up at lunch? Da da da. Right? Many of us have lives that are busy and patterned. What if this Advent could be a time of divine interruption? Whereas you root down into prayer, you ask God to show up in amazing and beautiful ways. And how could you get creative about looking for God's presence? Prepare to be interrupted. That is the message of Advent, as Mary will deliver it. As Mary will deliver it in the next couple weeks, that God will interrupt the world with something the world did not expect. May God interrupt what is mundane and complacent in our lives so that we can be ushered in to something bigger and better and wilder. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are not a God of the mundane, not a God of the boring, but in fact, you intentionally shake us up and interrupt us to get our attention to see that you are there. When those interruptions happen, rather than disputing them like Zechariah impulsively did, and understandably did, rather than doing that, help us to take a step back, to observe, to notice, and to savor. Be creative, dear God, about interrupting our lives so that we might better know you this Advent season. In the name of Christ, amen.